Hey, is that Anne Marie?
Hello.
Hiya, is that Anne Marie?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's Francesca calling from INS Law about your Scottish Redress Scheme application.
Hi,
Is now a good time
Francesca.
to speak?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah, no worries. So before we begin, I just need to take some details off you. So will I be able to get your full name, please?
Anne Marie Williams.
I've got a Cooper on file for you. Is that a middle or a different name?
You've got what, sorry?
It says Anne-Marie Cooper.
Yeah, so Cooper is my maiden name. I'm going to be changing back to that because I've just gone through a divorce.
Sorry to hear
But
that.
yeah, but when I was in care though, I was under McGilvary, McGillivray.
McGilvray. Perfect. I'll pop that on there. Yeah, so when it comes to requesting records, a lot of them get back to us and ask if you were ever known under any of the names.
Yeah, I
That's
was, yeah.
perfect. And then your date of birth, please.
10/186.
And your current address?
4 Argyle Street.
Yep.
Reading, RG17YP.
RG17YP, did you say?
Yeah, Y for Yankee, P for Papa.
And did you happen to know the address that you were in before you were placed in care?
The address I was in before they put me in care.
Yeah.
So, like my mother's address.
Yeah, so anywhere that you lived beforehand.
Yep. 29E for Echo.
Yeah.
Kerrera Terrace.
How am I spelling that, sorry?
KERRERA. And then Terrace.
And what area was that in?
That was in Oban, OBAN.
Perfect, thank you.
Argyle.
And would I be able to grab your parents' names?
My mother, Karen McGilvary, KARENMCGI, LLIVRAY.
And your father?
He wasn't really involved in any of it because he was gone by then. But his name's Mark Frederick Cooper.
Frederick Cooper. So did you say so with your surname at the moment is Cooper as well? Is that a coincidence or
Sorry?
so the surname we have on file for you is Cooper?
Yeah, that's because I contacted you through Facebook. So my Facebook's under Cooper. Cooper is on my birth certificate as well,
Okay.
as my father's name. That's why I use it.
Okay.
Because the McGilvary name wasn't like, I don't know why my mum put that. I don't even know why she's got it, to be fair, because it's, in my opinion, it's not anything to do with her, but
No.
family politics, do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And then would I be able to grab, so if you're registered to a GP, would I be able to grab the name of the practice you're at?
What GP am I with? Oh, what's the name of it? Oh, I need to double check that on my phone, on my NHS app. I don't know because I've recently moved, so I've got a
What
new one.
area is it in?
Hang on, actually, it should be. Will it be on my medication bag? It's in Reading. It's literally just around the corner from me. Hang on. Oh, sorry, I might have been on here.
Is it Chatham Street?
No, that's just the pharmacy. Hang on, give me one second. Right, let me check on my emails.
I've got a few here. So we've got Broad Street, Abbey Medical.
No.
No, that's okay.
No. Western Elms, WESTERN, and then Elms, ELMS.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
And that's on Oxford Road in Reading.
Oxford Road. Just popping this on the file. But just to confirm as well, the email I have for you on file is annw7795@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So obviously, I understand that obviously discussing experiences connected to this application can be quite difficult. So if at any point during the phone call, if you want a break or any further explanation or anything, just let me know, okay?
Uh-huh.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you want to make me aware of?
Not really, no. I'm just that I have severe PTSD and anxiety, which I'm medicated for.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's okay. So if you need to take a break at any point, okay, just let me know.
Okay, thank you.
So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the redress scheme to you. We'll go through your different options. I'll explain how INS Law operates, go through the funding and fees, and then we'll gather some information to assess how and if we can assist you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in Kay in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So I just want to double check that you know all of your options before you decide to instruct us.
Uh-huh.
So you're able to apply by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, and then they're paid directly by the government for helping you. So they're paid up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government, whether you're successful with it or not. Mm-hmm. So we're INS Law, we don't operate underneath that statutory scheme, so we don't claim the government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we're not paid by the government. So would I just be able to double-check that you've not instructed any of the solicitors to act for you in relation to anything with the redress scheme?
No, I haven't.
No problem. So our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if your application is unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And then again, if you withdraw your application or advice, you pay nothing. So if you are successful and you receive the redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. So the total fees, including the, so it's capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT of the redress payment. You'll never pay more than that. And again, it's a no-win, no-fee. So there's no other fees prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we can't guarantee that it'll be successful or the level of award the scheme may give you. So they operate on a discretionary basis. I can explain that in greater detail as well. Mm-hmm. So just to double check, do you have any questions? Do you understand everything so far?
The only question I have so far is, will it make any difference? Obviously, I live in England now. So will that create a problem?
No.
No. And about 2 years ago, because the care home I was in, right, it actually got shut down. There was a big press thing in Scotland about it. And then the police contacted my sister 2 years ago in Scotland, trying to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
Wanting to know if I would, like, come forward and give statements and stuff, because I was, a load of girls came forward from the care home I was in.
Yeah.
And there was a big investigation into it and whatever. And at that point, like, I just didn't, do you know what I mean? I didn't want to thingy with because obviously, it's a long time ago. But on top of that, do you know what I mean? It just wasn't something that at that point I was ready to go through.
Yeah.
So will that create any issues, I suppose, is what I'm...
So in regards to so that you didn't take anything forward or anything, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, it shouldn't make any difference, it shouldn't impact at all.
Like, the thing with the police contacted my sister, then they wanted to speak to me, so I phoned the lady, the police officer, back, and she says, oh, you know, you were in this care home at the same time as all these girls that came forward, you know, did anything happen to you? I said, of course it happened to all of us, do you know what I mean? The place was awful.
Yeah.
There was one man in particular, and I couldn't remember the man's name, but all I could say to her was, like, if I saw him, I'd still remember his face to this day. Do you know what I mean? But, names, because a lot of it was bank staff, do you know what I mean? There was so many different staff coming in and out, and, you know, I think part of it, in my memory, has kind of blocked. I think my head's kind of blocked some of it because
it's a natural response.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's another thing. You know, I don't know how.
Yeah, no, that shouldn't affect it. If they got in contact with you, and then if you didn't take anything forward, there shouldn't be any issues with that.
Right. And I think the fact that there was that investigation and things, that would help our case or not.
Yeah, so if obviously there'll be more evidence and stuff regarding it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the papers and everything. The Home actually got shut down because it was a secure unit, the Good Shepherd Centre in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And they got shut down because of it, so.
Okay. Right, so just cover a few more things and then we'll go through that. Your different case settings and then take short statements regarding it. So if you decide to instruct us, we help with your eligibility to apply, and then we gather and review all the evidence, we prepare and submit the application, we do all the correspondence with the scheme, and then we can advise you on any offers made. We'll explain the statutory waiver if that is offered. It's important because it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. You're not expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences first. And then if you're unhappy with the outcome of anything, we can assist them with any reconsideration or review processes within the scheme as well.
Yeah, I think, well, like, as long as it's, like you say, it's a no-win, no-fee thing, then I think it would be more beneficial for me to do that with myself. It's not something that I would want to do the applications and stuff by myself because...
Yeah, that's why we do this, because obviously it's to give people then a chance, the ones who... say can't go private or obviously don't have the ability to do it themselves, because obviously everything you've been through, it's very, very difficult, isn't it, to bring it all back up yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if you do decide to proceed with us, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And then if you choose as well, we can begin the work immediately while those 2 weeks that the cancellation still remains. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Perfect. And then, so we're able to act formally for you, so in regards to, like, accessing your records and everything.
You'll be able to access all that, because I don't really want to see all that stuff.
Yeah, no. So after this phone call, we'll send over a few contracts to you. So one of them will be a letter of authority, so it gives us the ability to act on your behalf to access all those records. And then as well as that, I'll send you an email. So we require proof of identity, just for verification purposes. So it'll be a photo ID, so a passport, driving license. Perfect. And then a proof of address that has your name, date, like your current address on. And then the date has to be within the last 3 months.
I've got I receive PIP, so I've got a PIP letter. Is that anything?
Yeah, that's perfect. As long as it's got the date stamp on it, that works perfect.
Yeah.
So just a couple of other questions. So have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No.
No? And regarding impact factors, so have you received any relevant payments, any criminal injuries compensation or anything like that related to abuse? No? Perfect.
No.
And do you have any criminal convictions?
The only thing I've got is a drink drive from about, 8 years ago or something, but I don't
know. That's fine. So it's for serious offence, anything related to abuse or like murder, or anything that had imprisonment over 5 years, so that's okay.
Oh, no.
No, that's so bad. And also with your application, so you can add a beneficiary if you'd like. So if anything was to happen to you, it would then like be passed on to them. So would you want to add one? You can do this at a later date as well if you decide. What was that, sorry?
I'll do that at a later date.
Yeah, no, that's okay, no problem. So moving on, so in regards to your care settings, so you mentioned the Good Shepherd Centre in Glasgow.
I think the place was called, it fell under Renfrewshire or something. It was the Good Shepherd Centre. It was a secure unit. We weren't allowed out the grounds. We were schooled in the same place, everything.
Yeah. So was that the only case setting you were in, or were there others?
No, before that, when I was taken when I was about 3 or 4, I was put into foster care for a while. Then after that, they put me back with my mother. And then it was in my teenage years that they put me, I think I was in about 6 different places before going to the Good Shepherd. They put me in one in La Gilped. I can't really remember all the different places. They had me in one in my hometown in Oban for a little bit. But I was moved about a lot.
So in regards to this, so is there anything that happened to you while you were in those ones that would be needed for this application?
No, the abuse and everything happened in the Good Shepherd Centre. And then I got a solicitor when I was in the Good Shepherd Centre, and I took it back to panel. And, like on the basis that they put me into a worse position than what I was in with my mother.
Yeah.
And then, I ended up getting let out when I was, I think I was about 14 and a half or something like that. I can't remember exact dates and ages, but yeah, I took it back to panel and got out of there because I said to them, like, the place you put me in is awful. Like, the stuff that's happening isn't right.
So you said that you were taken into foster care when you were about 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you in foster care before you were placed back with your mother?
I think about maybe 18 months to 2 years. I was back with my mum by the time I went to primary school.
So about 5 years old, did you say?
Yeah, I was back with my mum in time for going to school. But yeah, I was taken about three years old, roughly, because my mum and dad went to prison, and I was put into foster care because seemingly there was no family members to take me. But on growing older and then getting back in touch with my granddad from my dad's side and everything, none of them, social services never made anybody aware. They never called any of my family to ask them to take me. And then it turned out that my mum and dad seemingly didn't give any names forward because they didn't want the family knowing what they were going to prison for, you know. But looking back on that, shouldn't social services have tried? Do you know what I mean?
They should have.
With strangers, do you know what I mean? They should have taken it upon themselves to try and find a family member to take me.
And then I'm assuming, and then they were released from prison was when you went back to them.
Yeah. So, but my mum and dad weren't together after prison. So they put me back with my mother. But then my mother was a heavy alcoholic, really, really bad.
Yeah.
So things were absolutely awful. And then it came to a head when I was in my teenage years. And that was when, like, because my mum would say I was out with parental control. But to be quite honest, I was not out with parental control. She just wouldn't admit that she was an alcoholic. I was left alone most of the time.
So was social service aware of the situations that you were in before they put you back in your mother's care? So obviously they sent you back there knowing.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. You know, you didn't even try to get a family member to take me. You know, my granny from my mum's side, she was married to a policeman. Do you know what I mean? I look back and I think, like, I was left with phone boxes by my mother, everything, do you know what I mean? I was let down by social services, do you know what I mean? And then you come back in to my life when I'm, like, in my early teens and then cause more trauma to me by putting me from one place to another. Then, because you think my mother says I'm out with parental control, you've put me to a bloody secure unit.
Yeah, which is worse then than what it was with your mother, I suppose, So, with regards to the foster care you were first placed into, what area was that in?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Was it near where you grew up, or do you have no recollection of any councils or anything?
I think it possibly... I know my mum and dad were in Birmingham at one point.
And
then when we came... When they gave me back to my mum, that's when we were in the 29E Kerra Terrace house flat. And we were always in that flat during my childhood from 5 years onwards. But I don't know where the foster care placement was. As far as I know, it wasn't in my hometown, that's for sure. But I don't know. I was put with a lady and she had others young as well. I don't know where that was.
No, that's okay. That's okay. No problem. So that was about 1989 that happened, wasn't it?
But the thing is, I don't speak to my mother now. I have no contact with her for many over years and years. So And to be honest, he never would give me proper information anyway. You know, I wouldn't rely on
No.
She would give me.
So you weren't aware of where the foster placement was, but do you recall the area that where your mother first lived, or is that unknown as well?
I know her and my dad were in Birmingham.
Yeah.
But on my birth certificate, I was born in Scotland, it says. I was born at the Vale of Leven Hospital. So I don't know at what point, from me being born to me going into foster care, where were they? There's, but I don't.
Okay. Because the thing is, if you were born in Scotland, if you were taken into care whilst living in Scotland, then it's the Scotland Social Services. Whereas
yeah.
If it was, you said Birmingham, obviously it's
well,
a different...
I was born in Scotland, and then between birth and going into the first foster care placement, I was about 3 when they went to prison. So I don't know if they left Scotland. Or whether it was, I honestly don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So I'll just pop it down to social services for now, and then when we can access your records, we'll see then. We can try and figure out the timeline. Mm-hmm. We should be able to piece that together, hopefully. Sorry, just writing everything down at the moment.
That's fine.
And then so you were in and out a lot, and then it was the Good Shepherd Centre.
Yeah, that was the last one I was in.
And when were you placed there, when you were in your teens?
I was in my teens, yeah. But I'd gotten out of, like I said, I took it back to court and I got out of there by the time I was 15. I can't even remember how long I was in there, to be honest. It felt like forever, but I think it was roughly about a year.
I'll put about 1998.
Yeah, roughly.
Roughly, yeah, okay.
I don't really, like I say, with dates, I'm just not.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's our job then, to be able to get all that for you.
Thank you. But I've never even accessed my social work file. Like one of my friends said to me before, you should ask for it, but I think I just don't want to see it in black and white. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, because then it, obviously it is real, but it makes it real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just seeing what I can write that down as.
I know when I was in the Good Shepherd, the woman, it was a woman that was running it.
Yeah.
An old lady. We used to call her Fraggle Rock, but I can't remember that name. But she was a bit help.
Yeah, any word you need to use to describe them, that's okay. It's my job to change it into...
I'm Scottish, unfortunately. I don't really have much filters.
Yeah, I'm Welsh, so it's okay. I get it. You don't have to worry about that.
It was a woman that was running it, and then I know after I left there, a man took over. But it was while the woman was running it, I was there.
Okay. Let's just pop all this down now. So regards to that now, so I've written all those down with obviously the estimate dates. When we access your records, we should be able to kind of piece all that together.
Okay, so
with the first point you placed in Good Shepherd, obviously it was a lot of back and forth to social services. They obviously placed you back into an area that wasn't safe for you, kind of knowing the contact with family wasn't made, all that kind of stuff. So I'll add that all on there as well, because even though you were at home, it was still... obviously bad treatment from social services themselves, so we can still put
it
forward.
As far as I'm concerned, they completely failed me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all through my childhood, you know, I was like, my mum would go out, she would leave me home alone, like, my teachers would comment about it, but because any time, if they came out to the house a couple of times, but because my mum's house was very clean and, you know, everything was in order, like, they just left me there.
Yeah. So was it that your mother and her partner, or was it with your mother and your father?
No, my father wasn't there. And then it was just me and my mother. And then 10 years after I was born, she had my sister. but she lost care of my sister, and I had to go to court and fight for custody of my sister.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want my sister. I was terrified. They took my sister into temporary care, and I went to court and fought for her because I was terrified that she was going to get put somewhere like the Good Shepherd Centre.
Yeah.
And I always knew, like, I made it out, but I knew my sister wouldn't cope with it, you know?
No.
Because you had to be a certain way to be able to cope in there.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. So just writing a short statement now for obviously how they failed you. So obviously they didn't check about the family members, did they?
Nope. And then I feel that also, like, when they put me into the Good Shepherd Centre, it wasn't warranted. Like, how,
yeah,
you know, they put it down as, oh, you're out with parental control, and they took me from the place that day. They had a car waiting outside. And put me into the car, locked the doors, I was screaming. And they put me into, like, I think it was 5 or 6 different temporary placements, and then shifted me to that Good Shepherd Centre. And,
yeah,
like, even now I can't sleep with doors shut or anything, you know. It's, and I'm 40 years old now, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand how they can say that that was in my best interest. Do you know what I mean? When they're supposed to be there to help a child.
Yeah. So would you be able to tell me, obviously, about your time at Good Shepherd? Obviously, I understand this is going to be very difficult. So, get, like, if you need any breaks or anything like that, just...
It was just... So I think being locked up was, the first thing that shocked me, you know? Like, our bedroom doors were locked. There was bars in the windows. Like, it was as if I was, to me, it felt like a prison. Do you know what I mean? You weren't allowed out.
Yeah.
And obviously going into that setting, when I've been basically looking after myself, because my mum's never home and she's out drinking all the time, and
yeah,
I'm waiting in phone boxes outside pubs, to then go into a place where I'm, like, locked in, I'm not allowed out, there's barbed wire around it, you know, it was just traumatic. And I thought,
yeah,
that was bad enough. Then I got put in this, I remember I was put in a room with 2 other girls. There was 3 of us sharing the room. And we had beds. This was the first thing that happened. I thought, what is this all about? So they used to do room inspections after you were sent to bed.
Yeah.
So we'd put to bed, our room doors would be locked, and we couldn't get out, right? And then somebody would come round to check on us before going to sleep, the time check thing. And it was always a man, which I found really, like, looking back now, I'm like, why was it men? That's not right, because it was all girls. Do you know what,
yeah,
I mean? There was no boys there. It was a girls' placement. And they used to go in and open our underwear drawers, and, like, they'd make weird comments and place our underwear out on the bed in front of us and say to us, oh, these ones are nice. Oh, are you going to wear those ones tomorrow? You know, and we would just sit there because we knew by this point, see, if we said anything, you're getting battered by the staff.
Something, yeah.
Getting battered. Because there was one girl on our, it was like wings, and there was one girl on our wing, and she used to, like, shout back and fight back, and she would get battered. Like, we could hear her screaming.
Yeah.
So we were all scared, do you know what I mean? We would just sit there. And then gradually, as time went on, the men, like, it was always different. There was always a lot of different staff. Looking back, I think they must have been, like, bank staff or temporary staff. Like, there was always a lot of different staff coming in. And then it was always, like, at night time, they would come in. Like I say, first of all, it would be, like, taking your underwear out your drawer. Then they would start, like, touching us and, like, feeling us up, trying to kiss us. they would, like, only once it happened to me where there was penetrative sex, but the,
yeah,
other girls, it was worse for them. Like, one girl, she ended up falling pregnant by one of the staff. But with me, it was only once.
You don't need to say only. What, one time is enough. Like, it shouldn't have happened that one time.
Well, no, it shouldn't have. But,
no,
you know, it was. And then there was this underground room that they used to take us to. I don't know how much of this is going to make sense, right?
Yeah.
But all I remember was it was an underground room, and it was where they did the home made out that they, it was part of our schooling that we would dress up in certain clothes, and we were to put on a play or sing a song and stuff like this, right? And
yeah.
then the staff would sit in front and watch us. And that was something that I hated doing it. And
yeah.
I didn't realise. But see, now being an adult and a mother, now I know that was really, really wrong. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Those men were perverts, and they were getting us to dress up, put makeup on, and prance around a stage in different kind of clothing and revealing clothing for their gratification. Do you know what I mean? But this
yeah.
room was like, it was downstairs. You went down a couple of flights of stairs, and then it was like a stage. There was props. There was this. There was, like, it was just weird.
So he uses like entertainment purposes for the staff.
Yeah. Mhm. But in a very sexualized way, like it wasn't, you know, like, because we were schooled in there, I think nobody really checked or questioned it. But that's not schooling. Do you know what I mean? We had very little schooling while we were in there. There was no,
yeah.
like, you know, you would expect that being a residential, that you would go into English in the morning and this and that. No, the main part of our so-called schooling was done downstairs in this kind of basement made, I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah.
But there was a stage, there was lights, I always remember the smell of the big, dark, mahogany red curtains that they used to open up the curtains on the front of the stage, and we'd all just be stood there. And the smell of the curtains, I'll never forget it. It was, I think, something that stuck with me, you know?
Yeah.
These old, musty, smelly curtains. I don't know how much, I don't even know if this is relevant or not, but...
No, it is. It is, because the thing is, it's like, if you were to, like, smell anything similar or see it, obviously, it...
I can't now, do you know, honestly,
yeah.
the amount of different ways this, my childhood has affected me being in that Good Shepherd Centre is crazy. Like, I bleach constantly, daily. I can't stand bad smells. I'm very, very like sensitive to smells.
Yeah.
But I just can't, like, I'm constantly
yeah.
cleaning, oil burners on, everything, because I can't stand
anything to mask any kind of smell. Yeah.
I can't stand smells.
So see, we've covered. I don't know if that even touches the surface. But so in regards to this, so this initial statement says what we put on the initial application to centre redress, which gets it accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that happens, then is when our investigation team then work on getting all the records and everything like that through. And then following mm-hmm. that, one of my colleagues will have to do a witness statement with you. So
yeah.
it'll be a statement just in more detail. Obviously, we'll have the time frames and everything like that, we'll have more detail.
Yeah.
Is that something you're okay to do?
Yeah, that's fine. I remember, see, when I took it back to court to get myself
yeah.
out of that Good Shepherd Centre,
yeah.
I said it all at the time, but I don't know if it's on record or not. I don't know, because I never did anything about it. But I said it all at the time. I stood up in that court, like, well, it was in a court, but it was in a separate room where they took it back to panel. And,
yeah, one of the children's panel thing.
Yeah, so my granddad got me a solicitor, and the solicitor came to the Good Shepherd Centre.
Yeah.
And we took it back to panel. I can't remember, it was under something 19 something whatever. I don't know. There was
yeah.
some clause that said because they'd put me into a worse position than what I was in the first place. And they hadn't done certain things properly, that my lawyer said I could get out, we could try it on that.
Yeah.
And then I think because I started like screaming from the rooftops, look, I'm being abused in there, I'm being locked up, we're not getting dinner, we're not, you know what I mean, we're not getting what we're supposed to be getting, and we're certainly not being looked after, and we're being
yeah.
abused at this place. I think they thought, shit, this girl's shouting from the rooftops, let her out.
Yeah.
You know?
So I've written all these down now, so I'll write it all up into a statement for you.
Okay. I can't even remember the name of the policewoman that contacted my sister to get in touch with me that I spoke to. It was quite a while ago. I think it was about 2 years ago, because they were doing a big investigation into this historic cases from the Good Shepherd Centre.
Yeah, we'll probably be able to, there'll probably be some records, we'll probably be able to look into that and find it. So when I've written up all these statements now, so I'll just go through, so there's two types of applications that we can pursue. So there's the fixed payment of $10,000, and it's a fixed amount regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payment, where you can get up to £100,000. It's decided by a closed panel dependent on the level. So based on previous awards made and obviously everything we've spoken about today, I'd like to pursue the individually one, if that's okay with you. Obviously, it's your choice.
I'll just go with whatever you... Whatever
yeah.
Professional opinion.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the redress scheme in person, so we'll provide the statement on your behalf, so we'll tell your story for you, so you don't have to get in touch with anyone regarding it.
Okay, thank you.
So when I've written up now these statements, so I'll send over then an email with the contracts in. So it'll be a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and then the letter of authority. And then it'll be the two sections of the everything we spoke about today, so your details and the statements.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll send the email as well then with the address and identity thing. So you can just respond to that one with just like photos of it.
That's fine.
But yeah, so other than that, that should be everything. But do you have any questions for me?
No, I don't have any.
No, no problem. So hopefully I'll get this written up by the end of today. So if you'd like, I can give you a call when I send the contracts over if you'd like.
Okay.
So if you have any questions, is that okay?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
So I'll send the identity and address one over to you now, so you can take a look at that before I send the emails, and then I will give you a call back when I send the contracts.
All right. Okay. Brilliant.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate you obviously trusting me with all of that, and I will speak to you in a couple of hours.
All right. Okay.
Thank you very much.